Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
To the Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Well, we're finally back. I know you missed us terribly. This week, our guest is Father John Deere, and I'm sorry for the quality of the audio, but like John says, he's up in the mountains of New Mexico just trying to do the best he can. But John Deere is an internationally known voice for peace and nonviolence, a longtime activist, popular lecturer, and movement organizer. Father John is the author of 35 books and hundreds of articles, including Living Peace, Jesus the Rebel, and The Nonviolent Life. He was recently nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize by Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Stay tuned and we'll be right back with Father John Deere. Father John Deere from the desert in New Mexico, welcome to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
Thanks for having me, Cindy.
Oh, it's wonderful to talk to you. We recently reconnected when I was on a vacation in Hawaii, and you were there to speak at one of the universities, and it was just really nice to catch up with you, and I'd like to, tell my listeners what you're up to and what the exciting events that are happening coming up that you're helping to organize or involved in. But before we do that, tell my listeners a little bit, how did you get into all this peace stuff a long, long time ago?
Well, thanks, Cindy. Yes, it was great to see you in Hawaii. Well, I'm 58 now, and I was never planning all this. I was going to be a pious priest, Cindy, and as you see, that didn't work out. Uh-huh. What happened, I was a kid, and I was about to enter the seminary, 21, and I thought, well, I'm going to spend the summer hitchhiking through the Holy Land to see where Jesus lived. Wasn't that a nice idea? Uh-huh. Only the week I left, Israel invaded Lebanon.
Wow.
It was the summer war of 1982, and all the tour groups were canceled, and I was an oblivious, naive, dopey kid. I hitchhiked through Israel for months and was camping out for several weeks alone at the Sea of Galilee and meditating at the little chapel of the Beatitudes up in the North Shore, where the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount were literally on the wall. Blessed are the peacemakers. Love your enemies. And it was there that I saw all these jets, massive jets, swoop down over the Sea of Galilee, breaking the sound barrier, setting off these sonic booms, and then dropping bombs 15 miles away at Lebanon. And it changed my life. I decided then and there that I would spend my life trying to practice and teach Jesus' teachings about peace and justice, love your enemies, which means the abolition of war. And and I invite your listeners to really think about that, that I saw war at the place where the nonviolent Jesus said, you know, love, peace, universal nonviolence. And so I hit the ground running, Cindy. I was 21, and the next week I was with Daniel Berrigan and joined every peace group in the world. And, you know, in a couple of years, I was living in El Salvador in the war zone, in a refugee camp with the Jesuit priests who were all later assassinated. They were my friends.
Wow.
And that was a life-changing thing. And ever since, I've been I've been arrested 80 times and organized 1,000 demonstrations. I've written all these books and lecture on it. And I'm still trying to live out that promise. I had an unusual experience. That's what happened to me, Cindy. And but it was a great blessing, too, you know. And so here I am, still struggling to live out Jesus' teachings on peace and nonviolence in this terrible moment we're living through under Trump and all, you know, and the world of war.
Right. So, excuse me. Well, of course, the wars didn't go away when Obama was president. And in 2015, he dropped 26,000 bombs on the world. So I think since you, well, I mean, since way before we were born, this country has been violent. And it doesn't matter if there's a Democrat or Republican, the things we care about the most, they don't seem to change. But here, you say, you know, Trump is president. It seems like the Christian right is ascending, and it seems like the Christian right, they don't necessarily, and I'm not being judgmental, I'm just observing, they don't necessarily follow those teachings of Jesus as assiduously as you try to. And some of my other friends, like Father Louis Vitale and some nuns that, you know, we both know or we both know of, seem to really follow those teachings. And you recently were, I don't know, fired from your order, or what would you call it?
Well, so these are, I totally agree with you, your assessment. It's just a world addicted to war and greed and weapons and killing. And, so the peacemaker's life and what I got from Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount then and now is a whole vision of a world of nonviolence. You call it the kingdom of God. It's so lovely. And it's just, we're just part of a movement from Jesus to Gandhi, you know, pursuing that new world. Well, the church for 1700 years has all been for war. They totally threw out the Sermon on the Mount, created a just war theory, has nothing to do with the gospel. And then when they have crusades in the Middle Ages led by the cardinals going off and killing millions of Muslims, you know, the church priests owning slaves, burning women at the stake, that could go on and on. And, and we see it now in what you call the Christian right. And, we have completely rejected Jesus' vision of nonviolence. But what is, and that's my experience, you know, that I was a Jesuit for 32 years, and I have been in trouble my entire life for talking about nonviolence and working to end war. And banned by 100 bishops from giving talks about Jesus and peace, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount. But I haven't stopped me because I read, well, they killed Jesus, so this is part of the job description. You know, you're going to get in trouble. If you work for peace in a world of total war, you're going to get in trouble. You're not going to win the Nobel Prize, you know, and everyone's saying you're great. No, it's hard. And so I'm not surprised at anything, but as I, especially under Bush's war in Iraq, I was speaking to huge crowds across the country, and the complaints were going to the Vatican. So I was banned by the Jesuits for working for peace anymore, and I was sent to, literally punished, put in a house in Baltimore. Meanwhile, the Jesuits had a priest working at Los Alamos in full security at the labs. The Jesuits had a chaplain at Abu Ghraib ministering to the torturers. Meanwhile, the Jesuits in Baltimore were having an annual mass for war, where the ROTC cadets were professing their oath to kill to uphold the Constitution in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Now, that's what Hitler did. And I just decided to speak about this publicly. You know, just as you'd speak about against the sex abuse scandal and say no, and no to sexism, and you need to say no to the church and the Jesuits' complicity with the culture of war. Well, the Jesuits are running 28 universities and getting hundreds of millions of dollars from the Pentagon. So they have to shut me up, you know?
Right.
So what happened was when I realized they finally got me, I left. I was punished, but I left. And then a bishop in California said, no, you have to stay a priest and keep speaking out. We don't have anybody in the country. So I'm a priest in good standing with the Diocese of Monterey, California, and I continue to travel the world and organize. And maybe I could say a word about what we're doing with Pope Francis.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. Please do.
Well, the thing is, we had a great conference. The Vatican asked us to help draft the Pope's World Day of Peace message, which some of us did. It came out January 1st. It's called Nonviolence. It's the first stage of violence in the history of the Catholic Church. King. And now we're working with the Pope and the Vatican to get the right an encyclical on nonviolence, which means actually getting rid of the just war theory. And that'll change church history if this happens. And if the Pope survives, you know, I'm very hopeful that this is going to happen in 2 to 3 years. We're working very closely now with really good people in the Vatican. And I think locations with the rest of the church, if this happens, will be very powerful in a lot of other ways. And it's a sign of hope on the world that Pope Francis is open now to being against war. And what does that mean for the church? And it would affect all the other religions, too, if Pope Francis does this. That gives me hope, and I hope it would give your listeners hope.
John, let's address the controversy about Pope Francis when he was, I think, cardinal in Argentina, and it seemed like he appeared to support the dictatorship.
So this was in the 1970s, long before he was a cardinal.
Oh, I thought he was cardinal. I'm sorry.
No, it was worse. He was a Jesuit provincial. Just mean Jesuit provincials that I suffered under in the United States who supported war. In the 1970s in Buenos Aires, during the Dirty War, which 30,000 people killed, and I mean, the worst thing he did was imagine two young Jesuit seminarians, just like me, who were activists working against the war. He turned them into the junta. And they were arrested and tortured because of him as a Jesuit priest. Now, one of them later died, and the other is still alive. Well, then by the 80s and 90s, he becomes the cardinal of Buenos Aires. And one who survived went and spent a weekend with him. And Francis, in effect, had a conversion, kind of like Oscar Romero.
Right.
And he's realized Francis was a terrible person. And I think everyone has awareness of what he was like, which was a typical church, bishop, provincial. And he is fighting that tooth and nail not to be like that and trying to get the bishops and priests to change and even going so far as working with us on an encyclical on nonviolence. So this is a good thing, and people don't understand his transformation, and he's very up now. This is what's happening with him and why he's trying to be so good.
Thank you, John, for clearing that up about Pope Francis. I think it's important that we address that and get that out of the way. But talk about your 18-month initiative, the campaign Nonviolence, and how my listeners can become involved.
Great. Well, my friends and I organized this project called Campaign Nonviolence, and we're in our fourth year. And one of the things is we call for a national week of actions every September, around September 21st, the National Peace. And so we're asking for public marches and demonstrations against the whole culture of violence. We call it connecting the dots against weapons, racism, and therefore poverty and greed, and nuclear weapons and environmental destruction. But for the coming of a new culture of peace and nonviolence, as Martin Luther King envisioned it. And last year we had 758 demonstrations against the whole spectrum of violence and for a culture of nonviolence, covering all 50 states. This September, we hope to have over 1,000. We already have over 400 registered on our website, campaignnonviolence.org. Well, what we are urging people is to really dig in revolutionary nonviolence, especially over the next 18 months, just as an organizing tool. That's kind of what it is, Cindy, to help build the movement. I know a lot of people are working, and Bill McKibben said last week, from now on, weekends are for protest. I thought that was great. Spain, every Saturday, we are trying to have a coordinated week of action in September. And then next spring, we're asking for people to have retreats and organizing weekends and workshops on nonviolence. We're asking people to double up in nonviolence trainings in their cities around the country. And then next September, we want to have thousands of people in thousands of actions in the streets, September 2018, and we're going to have a national event in the spirit in Washington, D.C. We will probably march from Dr. King's statue to the White House and do nonviolent direct action, only probably in silence, and maybe even ask people to wear white like Gandhi did and the suffragists did 100 years ago in 1918. They were marching. They were really brave. So we're just, and I know it's about the congressional elections, but of course it's much bigger than that, as you were saying, to advocate a different world without war, world without weapons and starvation and racism. So I hope people can go to the website, campaignnonviolence.org, organize an event in their community in September, and we have a lot of other good projects and programs, and they can contact me through the website if they want to bring me in to speak or have questions about organizing.
Nice. Great. You have, by the way, you have an amazing website. John, is it johndeere.com?
johndeere.org. Yeah.
.org. It's really awesome.
Some young Jesuit who was working with gang kids in Camden, New Jersey, in the year 2000, organized. He got them off the streets, trained to set up websites before anybody was doing this. And he said, "Well, we need a prototype." And they said, "Well, we'll get John. He'll do anything." And so he set up this state of the art website for me in 2000, and it's still going. And it has all my writings, my speaking schedule, and lots of information, my books. I have a new book out called The Beatitudes of Peace, which explores, I unpack the Sermon on the Mount, and has a lot of diaries and experiences I've had in jail. Yeah, I hope people can look at that too, johndeere.org, campaignnonviolence.org.
How long,
yeah, that's kind of my
list. How many times have you been in jail?
I've been in jail in and out of my whole life since 1984.
Uh-huh.
I was arrested, and so I've probably spent over a year in jail, if you add it up. I, with Philip Berrigan, did a progress action where we walked onto the Seymour Johnson Air Force Base in Goldsboro, North Carolina. Cindy, we walked through 10,000 soldiers up to one of 75 F-15 fighter bombers with nuclear weapons, and we hammered on the side of it. I hammered once, and I faced 20 years in prison for that.
Wow.
Ours was the 50th of about 100 plowshares actions. Now, this is from Isaiah, written 3 years ago. Someday people will come along and beat their swords into plowshares and study war no more. And the Berrigans launched this movement. And he did in a tiny cell with Phil. And I never left the cell. I can't ever vote again. I'm highly monitored. But, we have a campaign now here in New York, campaign at Los Alamos, calling for the closing of the labs and the production of nuclear weapons. And around the week of Trump's inauguration, with a lot of friends, anti-death penalty movement. And we had a horrible couple of days in jail, and she gave me 50 hours of service. So I've been working in floors of the kitchen and shelter in Santa Fe, but I go back before the judge in August in D.C., and he still might put me in prison for a couple months, because I have a long record.
Right.
And I just learned that this is part of life. You know, in the United States, to resist, and not everybody has to cross the line, but some people should, and certainly a priest should. You know, I just thought it's what a description, and I can.
Well, John, I'm losing you again. This is gonna be a good place to end the conversation, I think. But John Deere for Campaign Nonviolence and johndeere.org, thank you for your lifelong work for peace and for keeping going. And we'll post those links on the soapbox so people can go to it and hopefully join Campaign Nonviolence and just get something started for peace.
Thank you so much, Cindy, and all the best to you and all your listeners. Let's just keep working for peace no matter what.
Soapbox for this week. As always, I hope you were informed and inspired to go further with the subject and further with your activism. Please go to johndeere.org. He really does have a great website, and you can find out everything he's involved in and get more information about his campaign for nonviolence and his campaign to make the Catholic Church finally recognize that there's no such thing as a just war. And I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar, and Father John Deere for doing this interview. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to The Soapbox. Peace out for now.